Bart, I've asked you not to whistle that annoying tune.
Yo, everybody, and welcome back once again to Simpsons is Greater Than, a Simpsons podcast where I will find any excuse, any opportunity to talk to anyone, really, about The Simpsons. As always, I'm your host, Warren, better known to some of you as Bart of Darkness. You might know me from my Simpsons collection over on Instagram or just the internet.
Be honest, it's great, isn't it? Go ahead and say it's great if you want to.
But if not, when you're done with this episode, do me a favor, go check it out. You know what I always ask you to do. And right now is the point in the intro where I would normally introduce Brandon, but there is no Brandon today, and the reason for that is that he's having his usual luck with airplanes, and if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you've probably heard about that. The lucky shirt is definitely no more, but that's a story for another episode. But I am joined by Will and Lucky from the band Hotline TNT. What is going on, guys?
What's up? Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
How's it going?
Come on. It's going great. I couldn't be happier to have you guys here. And this is interesting because this is kind of like a throwback episode a little bit, because when I first started the podcast, this is kind of just what I did. I just talked to people. I didn't have a co-host. I didn't have anyone to like share this with me. I was just like, hey, you know, what's your story? What's your relationship to The Simpsons? And that sort of changed. So this is like, you know, this is for the real heads. This is for the people that have been like riding with me from day one. This episode is for them.
The OGs.
It feels a little bit special in that way. And that's going to be great. So, but before we get too into the episode, up top, I want to get this out of the way because it is important, and that is that this episode is brought to you by Brandywine Coffee Roasters. Right now, I'm drinking this delicious natural process from Ethiopia. The notes are passion fruit, blueberries, strawberries, mandarin. Tell me that doesn't sound fucking delicious. I dare anyone. And if you're into coffee or you want to get into coffee for the first time, you can go to their website, brandywinecoffeeroasters.com. And you can use the code DARKNESS, and you're going to save yourself 10%. 10% on your final purchase. I mean, buy like 10 bags. That'll really add up. You'll save a lot of money. You'll get some fantastic coffee. So I'm excited to share that code once again. This has been like going since October. So, you know, take advantage of the code, guys. Use the code. Use it over and over. It's not a one-time code. Go use the code. As always, buy my book. I still have some signed copies in the store. I'm going to keep punishing all of you to go do that because, if you know, I don't want to run out and then everyone be sad that they didn't get, you know, like a stupid Homer quote from me in the book. So go buy a signed copy. I will write almost anything that you want. Literally today, I mailed off a copy and the person wanted the entire Mo quote. I'm an ugly moron with a stupid face and my butt smells and, you know, so I'll do that. If you want me to take up a whole page, just tell me what funny thing you wanted to say. So go get that. Guys, Will, Lucky, how are we?
I'm doing good.
I'm incredible today, man. I'm great. I've been looking forward to doing this, man.
Me too.
And I've been since, you know, last night went and watched over some things I knew we were going to talk about today and just actually surprised myself.
Wow. True professional.
When you were, because I just met you recently, Warren. And
yes, that's true.
When we were in the Simpsons room and you were talking about the podcast, like the people you've had on the show are pretty intimidating compared to little old us. So
no,
like,
come on.
I hope we do it justice. It's an honor to be part of it.
So here's the real reason. So, you know, again, like I said up top, people that have been listening to the show, they know I've had like, you know, I've had people from the show, but I've also had on people from bands. I've had people that just make stuff on the internet. And that's kind of what this podcast was always intended to be. I just want to talk to people about The Simpsons, about their experience. And that goes for like anyone, really. I mean, I make that joke in the intro, but I will honestly, anyone that's like even sort of cool, like I'm just looking for an excuse to have them on. But in your case, not only are you cool, you're friends of mine, but you're also, I mean, I love the band. And like any opportunity to plug, you know, what you guys are doing and what you're working on, I mean, come on, that's a win-win for me. So I do want to remind everyone, or tell everyone, I guess I haven't said this yet, but Hotline just put out a new record a few months ago called Cartwheel that is so good. I can't stop listening to it. That's not just like some shit you say on the mic. That's true. Can't stop listening to it. And you guys have been touring a ton. You're just like nonstop. You guys are just road warriors. So I want to know, like, now that the record's out, and that you're playing all these shows, you know, how are you feeling about it now, Will? How are you feeling about the whole process?
I mean, it's, you know, it's a dream come true. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I've been doing the band for a long time, been in bands just like Lucky has and everyone who's currently in the band. We've all been working on music for as long as we've been able to, I think right. I can speak for everyone, but like, obviously it's been kind of like elevated in the last few months since the record came out, got a much crazier reception than I ever imagined. And that's been awesome. I mean, we're just like, for me, it's taken over my life. I don't really do anything like work related besides work on the band at this point. So it's pretty cool.
Amazing.
It's been exciting, man. I mean, you're talking about, we're always on the road. I'm literally getting on a plane right after we finish this.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, not
to
only
get at
like,
it.
That is like truly a testament to how much Hotline's been doing, because, you know, this interview is being recorded right now without Brandon, because these guys literally have shows to play. Like, they got to get going. Yeah. And so Brandon hit me up. He's like, man, look, I'm buried with work. It happened again. He always has these issues at the airport. It's so insane. I'll tell you guys off mic, cause it's just so funny. This is like an ongoing thing. So he couldn't be here today, but it's like, no, we got to do it anyway, because these guys got shit to do. They got shows to play, people to rock. So
we're going to be busy. We hopefully don't have too many airplane issues either. I mean, Lucky's about to get on a plane. Richmond, our tour manager.
Oh, man.
He's at the airport right now, but he left his passport at home.
So, oh, my God.
He grabbed his old passport instead of the new one. And so he's like, and they're offering him like, well, you can take a, we have an overbooked flight. You can get a credit. And it's like, I know, but we need you tomorrow. Like, you got to be here. Like, so we're going to mail his passport somewhere. But I just had to book some more flights yesterday for some side missions. But it's nonstop, man.
Well, as long as you guys don't have a Lucky shirt that you lose, because truthfully, and this is like the really condensed version, Brandon had a shirt that he used to jokingly say was Lucky, and he lost the shirt. And ever since he lost the shirt, he's had an issue at every fucking airport he's ever been to. Like, it is like, he could just be flying like a couple states over and it'd be like, he would get like strip searched or something. Like, he literally just cannot catch a break. It's insane. So
don't even get me started on like, yeah, strip searches at like border crossings, that too. It's just like,
I have the opposite thing, man, where like, I can't even tell you how many times I've gotten onto a plane with zero identification. No problem.
Yeah.
Watch today be the day, dude.
You just look so unthreatening, Lucky. I mean, people are just like, this guy's fine. He's not doing anything. He's not going to hurt
anybody. I'm not doing anything wrong.
I have gotten onto a plane with only like an expired Minnesota teaching ID as well. It's like, they scare you, but I mean, I guess it depends on what you look like and stuff.
Yeah, so. Right. That's very true. Yeah. Well, so part of the reason we're doing this today, you know, as you guys were in town recently, we hung out, I saw two of your shows, and you came over and checked out the room in person. Now Lucky had been in the room before. We'll get into that. But this was Will's first time, and he went live and we talked about the room. It was honestly like a podcast in its own right, which was fun. It was like 1:30 in the morning, but it was really cool. And after that experience, it's like, yo, you guys should just be on the podcast. We should just do like an actual podcast. And talk about this stuff a little more in depth. But I do, you know, I don't like to give myself a lot of credit, but I do want to kind of hear from Will how insane and weird he thought I was when he saw the room for the first time.
No,
I guess Lucky also.
I was about to launch into it because, like, Halen, our bass player, is the one who kind of facilitated all this. Because, like,
this is true. Shout out to Halen.
Yeah. Yep. He showed us the book because someone in Seattle had it. Was that?
Yeah, the photographer.
That's
Caroline.
The photographer. Okay,
yeah, she took all the photos for the book.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I was looking at this book, and he was like, "Yeah, I know the guy who made this book." And I was like, "You know the guy who made this book? Like, what?" Okay, that's weird. And the book is amazing. I'm gonna hype the book for you. There,
Thank
it's
you,
a really,
please.
It looks beautiful. The photos are great. And it's,
go
it's
buy
cool.
a signed copy, available now. Thanks, everyone.
but Will, I think you had no clue.
No, that's what I was about to say. Like, I still didn't know what I was getting myself into. Like, you can't really prepare for it until you're in the room. I mean, I tried to do it just with the live video. A lot of jealous viewers in there asking, like, what is that? What is that? But, like, I mean, we said it in the room at the time. It's just, like, every time you look at the same spot twice, you see something different that you didn't see the first time. And it's just, like, I didn't think you were crazy. I thought it was cool. I mean, but I'm into that kind of stuff. So I'm probably...
Well, here's the thing. The reason I asked that is I never thought this was weird because I'm an obsessive guy, but in a way that I just like to learn. Like if I get really into something, I want to know everything about it. That often, shows its head in ways like this, where I just like become, I won't call myself an expert, but I become this guy that just wants to track down all this weird stuff. The same could be said for records, music, yeah. You name it. And I don't often think that it's weird, but then sometimes I like show the room to people that I don't know as well and they leave. And in my head, I'm like, do they think I'm insane? Like, do they think that I am like, that I should be institutionalized? And honestly, after the live, I was like, man, like, obviously I know Lucky, I know Halen, but like, I don't really, I know Mike, but I don't know any of these other guys. What if they actually are like, what a freak this guy is, I often go years without thinking that. And then someone sees the room and I'm like, what if they think I'm actually nuts? So I'm always just curious.
I just think that like, you say you're not going to call yourself an expert, but I think like, I mean, people collect all kinds of stuff, man. People are into all kinds of things and people really get into things. And like you said, they want to learn and they want to find out about all this stuff. But like you have acquired information that I feel like if you weren't the one digging for it, no one would know. Building a collection like this is like, there could be like a fucking Netflix drama about it. You know what I mean? Like it's insane to me, man. And having been in the room previously, I feel like that was a couple of years ago. Coming back this time, I feel like there was just even more.
Yeah.
And it's just like Will said, you could look at the same corner of the room 1,000 times and there's something else there every single time you look.
Yeah.
It's one of the singular, like most impressive collections of anything I've ever seen. You're absolutely an expert.
Yeah, not too right. We can call you an
tires
expert.
Too hard.
Okay, well, look, guys, look. I didn't want to call myself that, but if Will and Lucky want to call me that, then we're just gonna stick. Expert. We're gonna run with it. That's
well,
cool.
It's funny too because making the joke about like, oh, there could be a Netflix drama about this is like when we were in the room and you were talking about like, yeah, I had to trade this into this other guy over here and get it. I was like, wait, there's more than one of you. Like,
yeah, dude.
There's others out there. Like, I'm sure there is a whole like drama between behind the scenes.
It's it's like anything. There's like always going to be people that get into collecting because they love it, and there's always going to be people that get into it for like monetary value or just like superiority, or they just they just like it because they. I mean, there's this goes for records. This goes for any collectible thing. Some people just want to get into it because it's valuable. Sure. And it's not because they love it. And I couldn't care less about that, across the board. So
that shows.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear. You guys did a good job. Thanks for reading what I prompted you to say, in the email. That's really, you guys really nailed that. That's fucking
no,
cool.
I mean, we were in the room and like, it's just obvious. Like we were all pretty excited about it too. Save one member who excuse himself early. We won't mention his name.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. We don't have to say any names there.
Let's not mention him. But like,
we don't have to put him on blast.
It's fine. But the rest of us were all genuinely like, oh, what's this? Oh, I remember this. Like from when I was a kid. And this is like, you had that same. I mean, obviously, you've seen it all a million times. But like, you were happy to answer all of our questions. And like, we were, to put it in colloquial terms, we were geeking out together.
That's the best. And that makes me really happy. So let's move into like the darker side of that conversation. And so there's, I bring this in up top and say like, oh, these are just friends of mine. I think they're band rules. I just want to talk to them. But there is like, there's a connection. Obviously, I've known Lucky for a lot longer than I've known Will. And we go way back. And, Halen, who we mentioned earlier, one more shout out to Halen. That's my man. Boy. That's my little brother, basically. Him and Lucky came over some years ago, and they came over when the room was like not in its purest form. I had been letting my, like, my mom had come to visit. I had kind of set her up some stuff in there. The room was a little extra full. And because, again, it should be noted, this is like a guest room in my house. So I don't have a proper guest room because I have to fill it with toys. So, you know, it was a little more full than usual. And, you know, Lucky comes over. He's seeing the room for the first time. Him and Halen are looking around. And, you know, Lucky, I'll just let you tell it from your perspective. But let's just say things did not go as planned.
Oh, man, I have a hard time even just like looking at you through the camera right now telling this story, man. It's oh, God, it's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me. And I feel like it's so like locked away in my brain that I remember it in like a way exaggerated form. So I'm just going to tell it the way that it is in my mind.
Please.
You were kind enough to let me into your home and come see this room with all these amazing things in it. Simpsons, very important to me. It was really something that I just like could not fucking wait to see. Had waited for a while to kind of get the opportunity. And finally, me and Hale were in Jacksonville for, I think, like a tattoo convention.
Yeah, that
maybe,
sounds
or
right.
Something
that's
like
what
that.
I was
yeah,
say.
Yeah,
yeah. That seems right.
Inksmith anniversary, maybe. But we set it up. We get over. We're looking through the room, and yeah, it was definitely full. I think there was maybe like an air mattress or something in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I think so.
And you were just showing us, I want to say it was like a poster that you had been looking for a long time. Something that was not easy to get a hold of. Not to mention there was like a wire rack of like some t-shirts and like, you know, lots of really cool stuff in this one particular corner. Well, I'm a clumsy guy. I'm kind of looking around and I'm bewildered. I'm like whipping my head back and forth, trying to look at everything in the room. I bumped into a table or a shelf or something and knocked over fucking Duff beer energy drink. And in my head, the way it happened is it like hit the ground. And you know, when like a can of soda starts spraying and it starts spinning and it's just fucking spraying everywhere. And it's this pinhole, like just absolute super soaker of a fucking soda just spraying down this poster and these shirts and these fucking statues and toys and all this stuff that is just like some things we don't even know the value of, man. Like,
I mean,
I'm like frozen. I was like in absolute shock. My brain shut down. And you were just, God, man, so fucking gracious.
What did you do, Warren? Like, how do you remember it happening?
So, first of all, Lucky, that was perfect. I will say, if it makes you feel any better in retrospect, I do think that version is slightly exaggerated. So I don't think it was bad. I'm not going to downplay it too much, but it wasn't like, you know, it ended up being okay. But what I, you know, not to bury the lead, but what I will say is, and I may, you know, I've been doing this podcast a while now. I may have sort of told a version of this before on the podcast. It's really hard for me to remember. So anyone listening, if they're like, oh yeah, you talked about this once in like a Q&A or something, then that's, you know, but you're getting the real story. This is the guy that did it. This is the guy who did it. So the way I remember it is, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, sorry, it's a little full, but I know you want to see the room. So, you know, check everything out. Just, you know, be careful. And I will say it's kind of my fault for keeping full energy drinks. Like, it's honestly like they're not even that cool and they're not worth anything. So like, yeah, it's like a cool Duff can, but like just empty it. You know, I had no reason to keep that sealed in a can. But, you know, Lucky bumps into the table and this all happened, you know, I want to say it happened fast, but in my mind, it was like in slow motion. So in reality, I just remember noticing that he like sort of bumped the table. He didn't even like really bump into the table, like super aggressively or anything. He just like nudged the table. I just see the can fall off. This is all happening so slow to me. And then it just explodes. And the best part of the story, and this is the part that Lucky kind of forgot, is he goes, oh my God, was that me? And so in the moment, I could tell that Lucky and Halen were like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. So then I was like, no, man, it's cool. It's all good. Like, I'll sort of clean it up. Like, don't even worry about it. You know, shit happens. I shouldn't have left that there. And I'm sort of just like downplaying it because on the inside, I'm having like a panic attack a little bit. And I'm like, no, dude, no, it's cool. You guys just go run along. I'll meet you at the party. It's all good. Oh. The moment the door shut, I just exploded. I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, I'm just like in there trying to clean it up and I'm like grabbing paper towels and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I will say the extra detail that is particularly funny now is that it couldn't have happened in a worse part of the room because the part where it happened was around so much like small stuff and also around the poster that Lucky mentioned that I had just gotten. That is true. And right by the t-shirts, as he also mentioned, and that's what it got. So the only real casualty, the poster ended up being okay. It mostly dried clear. It was like not a big deal. Some of the shirts had never seen a washing machine. They were literally like unworn and they had to be washed. But you know, that's fine. You know, it's all good. The funniest part is that to this day, if I move some stuff around once in a while, I still find like a little bit of residue from the drink. And it happened recently. And I was like, oh, that's literally sticky because of the energy drink from 3 years ago or whatever. So Lucky made a lasting impression, not only on the collection, but on me, which, you know, we squashed this in the live, but we can do it here officially on the podcast. Lucky, you're fully forgiven. You're my boy. And so it's water under the bridge. It's all good.
Love you, man.
It's funny too, because let me add one other detail to this situation from my perspective.
Please.
Is that Halen had been hyping up the Simpsons room since we saw the photo book in Seattle. But at that time, Lucky was not in the band and we had a different guitar player. And then our then guitar player was a late scratch and Lucky just, I didn't even know Lucky until like right before this tour. Really, I met him briefly, but like, I didn't know he was going to be joining the band for this tour. And then, you know, I kind of forgot about the Simpsons room and then it kind of came like to the Jacksonville date and like Halen was like, all right, well, Warren said we'd come over to the room, but like everyone, you guys kind of like, Lucky's here. I don't know if is it going to be cool. Like, I don't think it's okay for Lucky to be there in the room. So dude, I thought he killed our chances to see the room.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is one of those things where I almost wish the podcast had video so everybody could see me actually like writhing in pain throughout the entire retelling of this. It's like actually like I think about it semi often.
Amazing.
Every time I see like a post or see you or dude, it's just like I'm literally back watching the soda just like it was like there was gallons of Duff in that thing, dude.
Hey, just to put my two cents in about having the full can though. Like I remember being a kid, I collected the episode 1 Pepsi cans.
Oh,
Star
yeah.
Wars. Oh, and yeah. I remember like I had drank a few of them and then like, yeah, I got the full collection. And my friend's like, well, it's not full. It's not worth anything. It's like, well, they have to be, you have to keep them sealed. So I get it. I would keep my Duff cans full.
Yeah.
Too.
I just, you know, I think when you do something like this long enough, like you kind of begin to think everything needs to be unopened. And I've since like changed my thoughts on that a little bit. Like I think, you know, if you want to open it as a collector, open it. Like I literally talk about that in the book, like collecting is what you want it to be. If you want to open it, open it. If you want to pour out the drink, pour it out. But for a long time, I was like, no, like this is really nice in the packaging. I can't open it. So I was kind of that way with energy drinks too. But, you know, it's almost like Lucky freed me. In that way, like I'll get, you know, yeah. I'll turn it around. I'll put a positive spin on it. He sort of freed me from that prison.
I like that version.
Yeah. Like who gave Dobby the sock in Harry Potter?
I will say this, after I got home from that whole thing, I emptied my Marge shampoo.
Oh my God.
Cause it sits above a bunch of electronics in my room. Mm. And I was just like, you know what? This is a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More, this experience was the catalyst for you to put extra protection on your electronics. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, guys, that's the room story. It's one of my favorite stories. You're getting it from the source. And if I've told that story before and you remember, please tell me what episode. I want someone to remind me because I don't want to listen to all of them. I hear myself enough. So please let me know. So we're going to go, you know, I made a couple notes for this episode because, these were very specific things that we had to make time for. And one of those things, and all of my listeners know that this is like hard for me to do. But Will wants to talk about the Family Guy crossover a little bit. So we're going to, I want to get his take as a Family Guy fan, on why it's not one of the worst things that has ever happened.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't say that it's not, but, okay. It did happen. And, yeah. Well, I think, you know, when I was in the room and talking to you, it's just kind of like people do kind of know me as like a long-standing Family Guy fan. And I feel like public opinion has turned around a bit in the last year or two on Family Guy.
It's true.
Where it's kind of like Peter has become very popular meme discourse. Like he's kind of like become beloved again. But for a long time, it was pretty like not cool to be a Family Guy fan, but I was there the whole time. Anyway, being in the Simpsons room, I was kind of like, what if I'm like the Family Guy version of this guy someday, you know, like, and even on the tour, Halen, like we were at a thrift store and Halen found this squishy football and he threw it. I was like, oh, what's this football? And then I turned it and it's Stewie's head.
Oh my God. Like, did you buy it?
I bought it. It's here.
All right.
I can't reach it with my headset on, but
there you go.
I'll bring it up at the end, but I was like, this is the beginning, man. This is where it begins. But yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit in the room about it and like, just, you know, Family Guy is obviously, you know, it's almost like a clone of The Simpsons. And you guys were talking a little bit about how you were into it when it started. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I mean, it's like what? I think it started 10 years after The Simpsons.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Almost exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've said this on the show before, and I also, this probably isn't fair, but in retrospect, it's just like the thing that bothers me about it. But I did like the show when it came out. But when you get older, I just feel like it hasn't aged as well. Like, I feel like you can show someone an episode of The Simpsons from season 3, and even if they don't get the jokes, it just like feels kind of current.
Yep.
Even if the subject matter is really dated, Family Guy very much so to me feels like it's from the late 90s. Like it just feels very locked in to a not so great time, like an interesting time, but like the humor doesn't feel as fresh. It's a little more mean spirited and that's fine. I'm not saying that can't be funny. Obviously it can. But when I got older and realized that a lot of the reason Futurama struggled to find an audience was because the network sort of turned its back on Futurama for Family Guy and sort of made it impossible for Futurama to survive. It just made me resent Family Guy even more. Not that it's their fault. It's the network's fault. But that's also,
I never knew that.
It really made me hate it more. That's why Futurama, like to this day, struggles to like not just get canceled every time it gets episodes, because it really had a hard time getting seen in those early years. Yeah. TV was a lot different. So I hope you feel terrible about that, Will.
I don't, because I'm not a Futurama fan. But I also, so wow. I agree with you a lot of what you just said, though. And in fact, I feel like Family Guy and Simpsons are kind of inverses of each other. And I know you might disagree with that. We'll get to that. But like the early first few seasons of Family Guy, same as you, I was like, this is edgy. This is hilarious. I'm into it. Like, I'm, you know, we're tuning into Adult Swim to catch the reruns because they only had like 2 seasons at first.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. That was the end of high school for me. Going back now, the first 10 seasons are unwatchable to me. I like don't find it funny at all. Because I think that show, just on the surface, it's very similar to The Simpsons, but it does rely a lot more on pop culture, moment to moment stuff. Kind of like South Park, I guess, in a way.
Sure.
Although also a different flavor. Whereas The Simpsons, the first 10 seasons are all still make me laugh just as much as they do. Like, anyway, I don't really know much about current Simpsons. You're supposed to send me a list of new Simpsons episodes to watch.
I got you. I'm gonna have it to you by, I'm gonna have it to you while you're on tour.
Okay,
so you
cool.
can like download the episodes. I got you.
Yeah. Whereas Family Guy, the newest stuff is the funniest they've done, in my opinion. I still watch it every week, and I think it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe that's just because it's fresh and they're talking about current events and stuff like that, but I don't know.
I mean,
the writing's gotten better, in my opinion.
Lucky, what is your stance on that?
I think at the time did really appreciate how like referential the humor was.
Yeah.
I think because it's like a really good way for people to feel good about themselves for like getting the joke. You know what I mean?
Sure,
but it's
sure.
Like,
that's big.
I don't know. I agree with Will. I think like down the line, the show got better. But even like you pointing out the thing with Futurama, which I didn't realize, like, that makes a lot of sense, man. Yeah. It was like the new kid on the block. It kind of stole a lot of shine and attention away from, like, I mean, I think Futurama has like some of the most like incredible writing for a cartoon, period, ever.
Yeah.
It's like a damn near perfect show.
I agree.
So now that I'm thinking about it in that light, I fucking hate Family Guy. That's crazy.
Here's the other thing too. And Will, I'm surprised to hear you say you're not a Family or a Futurama fan. I'm surprised to hear that. We won't dig into that too much because, you know, that could be a whole other podcast. But I mean, the first episode of Futurama is literally, you know, Fry going to a suicide booth. I mean, it really is like such a dark show from the jump, and the humor, while dark, is like less dated also because it's so forward thinking. But I mean, to
suicide
me,
crosses all boundaries, you know, all generations. We all
it does.
Find that funny, you know, it or, does, or yeah. not. But
right. Right. Well, to me, Family Guy, and I'm, you know, I have softened up enough to admit, like, no, multiple people have told me that the current seasons are good. And so, you know, I'm not going to tell you on the podcast that I'm going to watch it because that'd be bad for the brand. But you know, maybe I'll give it a spin, but
I defy anyone to watch a current episode of Family Guy and not get a few chuckles out of some cutaways.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm willing to trust you on that, and I'll see what I can do.
To respond to what you said though, I think Futurama for me could probably be similar to how I reacted to King of the Hill, which is like, as a kid, I just didn't rock with it at all. And then I finally watched it for the first time 3 years ago. And I think that's a perfect show. Like, I can watch every episode.
Okay. Whoo, man, you really stuck the landing there. You scared me for a minute.
And I think Futurama could be the same. I haven't tried it as an adult, and I would like to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Simpsons, I think you would get a lot out of it.
Simpsons, it was like a family, literally my mom and dad and I would watch it every week.
I mean, well, that's, I'm a brother, so. That's perfect. So tell me a little about that. Like, that's honestly the next thing I was going to bring up is, you know, your relationship to the show growing up, and like, what's your, you know, for both of you, what is your earliest memory of it? Like, what is, when you think about Simpsons in your life, what is that first moment like?
So my parents were a little strict growing up. They weren't, for whatever reason, I think maybe they thought The Simpsons was like a little more adult than it was. And it was kind of like a show that I wasn't really allowed to watch. And I remember I had a babysitter, Mrs. K, who would like kind of give me her kids like hand-me-downs, you know. I had a pair of Bart track pants that she gave me and like a Bart t-shirt. And I remember thinking like, man, this stuff is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch this so bad. Like, I don't even remember what the shirt said, but it was Bart saying something funny. It was like, I don't know, everything about it. He's like the coolest character, you know? And I was always like, I wanted to watch the show so bad, but it was not going to happen. I also had a bedtime. I had to go to bed fairly early, like 9 o'clock, 9:30. This is in middle school. But I had a little CRT television in my room that I would play Sega Genesis on, and it had an antenna. And I could pick up local channels. And I had closed caption, like subtitles on. And I would turn the TV all the way down. And at 11 o'clock, one of the local stations would play an hour-long Simpsons block.
Amazing.
And I would literally read the show.
Oh,
I couldn't
wow.
even hear it. Like, volume all the way off. And I would just fucking die, dude. I would watch it every single night. Fall asleep at midnight, wake up, go to school in the morning. And it was just like, I could not believe the show, man. I waited years to be able to watch it. And then for like a year straight, I was just reading the show on my television at night, huddled up like under the covers.
That is one of the coolest, because again, it's one thing to like see the show. Like, I, you know, like for the sake of example, I remember I had an aunt and uncle that they didn't really hate The Simpsons, but they hated Beavis and Butthead.
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought I had like, you know, lit a Bible on fire or something. So the fact that like your love for the show literally came from imagery and text, not even just like the pacing of the show.
Yeah.
I think that's like incredible. That like really speaks to the quality of The Simpsons in a way that I've never heard articulated.
I mean, the voice acting is such a huge element of it too. I mean, Nancy and everyone, like,
incredible.
It's arguably like the biggest part, but it really does, like, it says something about that show, man. Like, the writing, the visuals, like everything, every aspect of the show is so strong. Unbelievable.
I was watching, when you asked me to pick some favorite episodes, I was watching back a few of them, and just some of the animation cells, and just like, Family Guy never did that, you know. Yeah. Like, it was so creative, it was so good. Like, we'll get to that later, but yeah.
I mean, can we admit that Family Guy is kind of an ugly show? Can we just admit that on the show?
Of course,
absolutely.
It's one of some of the worst drawn characters I've ever seen.
It is, but like, it's just like, I feel like at this time in 2024, it owns that. It's just like, Peter looks fucking stupid, and he's just like, that's why he's in memes now. Like, I mean, Homer obviously has lived on in memes as well, but like, it's a different thing.
It is. I mean, look, I'm not, the Simpsons is not a, you know, it's not artistic in that sense. Like, it is like a very unique art style. And this is something I talk about a lot in terms of the merchandise. It honestly doesn't make sense that it was so appealing, not only to kids, but adults, because it looks so basic. Yeah. Like, no one would call Matt Groening a great artist. And this is just what his drawings look like. And now it's so tapped into the zeitgeist of life that no one even thinks about that, but they're weird looking too. But it's better looking than Family Guy. I just wanted to make that very clear.
For sure. No argument here. But I think, you know, Matt and the Simpsons people like tapped into like some of this, this might be controversial, but now I'm blanking on his name. Famous 90s artist, New York, Keith Haring.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that, like, sure. Childlike, just like rudimentary, you know, I think it scratches some of the same itch, in my opinion, of just, and it's obviously very, it became ubiquitous and like universally loved. But yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. So Will, if you don't remember a specific moment, tell me, like you said, your parents watched The Simpsons growing up. Like, what was, is that, that's just something you watched every week? You loved it as a little kid.
So yeah, we had strict rules as well. Maybe not as strict as Lucky, but like I think TV was only on weekends and only for an hour. Yeah, only an hour and not on school nights. That was the rule. But
oh my God,
we always made exceptions for two shows, Home Improvement and The Simpsons.
Wow.
That was what we watched as a family. And also the Minnesota Vikings. We watched football on Sundays.
All right.
And The Simpsons, I don't know if you agree with this, but like The Simpsons to me is like very much associated with like after football.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Simpsons. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a big deal.
Every memory. And I mean, you know, there was a time period where it was on Thursdays. I think people forget that. And I forget it sometimes too, because I was just watching it whenever I could. And it would also, you know, kind of bounce around. But Sundays to me always, even current day. And this comes back to like why I'm so quick to praise the fact that the show is still on. And this, you know, this gets controversial also when I talk about it, when I post about it, but my entire life, since I was, you know, 2 years old, I've been able to watch a new episode of The Simpsons almost every Sunday or Thursday. And that's crazy that I am still watching a show on Sunday that has never gone away.
Yeah.
Even Family Guy got canceled and then came back.
Briefly.
It was briefly, but it happened. Let's be honest. Futurama got canceled too. I'm not saying that's you know, it's fine, but it's never gone away. It's been there my entire life. And even if I acknowledge some episodes are weak, some seasons are weak, I could also blame that on Family Guy, but that's a whole other podcast. You know, that is special that it's still there. So that's something that I think about a lot and that I talk about a lot. And, you know, much like Will's opinion on Family Guy, The Simpsons are writing great episodes right now. They are in like the best swing of episodes that they've been in a decade currently. Like really, really good stuff. Maybe not every episode blows your mind, but if you watch some of these newer episodes, you will be impressed. And I say that any chance I get because it's true.
All right, I need to get hip. I really do need to get hip. I mean, I think if you're saying, yeah, it's also funny. The Sunday thing, really quick, just so everyone knows, Family Guy last week just moved to Wednesday for the first time.
Whoa.
In a very long time.
Wow.
Not super hyped about it. Because to me, it was always kind of like The Simpsons was also like a, there was a block of animation, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it always the case? Was King of the Hill?
There was a period of time where it was King of the Hill, The Simpsons, but it was also, there was Malcolm in the Middle at one point. That was all in the same little block. It was like this little block. I always associated it with Tombstone Pizza. That was a big, you know, come on Sunday, have a frozen pizza, watch The Simpsons. That was
like
definitely. I mean, there was, it was a tradition in my house. Like, the Sundays are for The Simpsons and like everything from the couch gag on. It was just like, we got to see what's going to happen this time. And it's just like, it's always good. And there's something like the programming has changed. I mean, I'm not even going to get into like eventually Family Guy, but Simpsons were kind of like, we're going to pull you in and show you this other stuff that's also happening. But you're here for The Simpsons. Hey, check out Family Guy. Check out American Dad. Please don't check out American Dad.
Don't even touch it. No, here's the thing. I don't want to make this, I don't want to upset Will on the podcast. And I also don't want to make it too much about Family Guy. I would light Family Guy on fire for American Dad. I think it's a better show.
Okay. I'm not even going to engage with that. I'm not even going to engage.
That's my girlfriend Darcy's favorite show.
It's not bad.
American Dad is trash. Dude. I'm sorry. I hate it. Like, the things that Family Guy gets accused of is actually what American Dad is doing, in my opinion.
Will's like, look, I love the Cleveland Show, and I'm not going to listen to anyone talk shit about the Cleveland Show.
Well, there was they reference the Cleveland Show. I watched the Simpsons Guy episode this morning.
Oh, wow.
And they make reference to the Cleveland Show. I don't know if we want to get into the actual episode soon.
Well, you know, I think we can, you know, I'm more than willing to allot a few minutes to it, because here's the thing. I've talked about it so many times, and I honestly cannot remember if I've actually seen the episode or if I've just seen enough clips that I feel like I've seen it, because it honestly kind of upsets me. I consider us all lucky that it's a Family Guy episode, not a Simpsons episode. But I would love to hear your thoughts on it, Will, as someone who just watched it.
Yeah. Lucky just watched it last night too, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Lucky, you might have liked it more than I did, because I watched it this morning and I was like, nah, this is not good. You go first.
I'll say I was surprised, because I hadn't seen it since, I mean, when did that episode come out? I don't know.
Oh, it would surprise everyone, I think, if we looked it up. I can't remember, but longer ago than it seems like.
2014, I think.
Jesus, so like 10 years ago.
That's crazy. I had seen it upon its inception, because I like had to see it. I had to know. And I remember like really fucking hating it. but going back last night, there was a handful of moments that I actually laughed. But I'll say each one of those moments was like a Simpsons moment.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'll say that I really could not like believe was like some of the more adult jokes that they got away with. Like, there were some points where I was like really disappointed that they like put these beloved characters in some of these situations.
That's a great word for it. Great word for it.
There's a point where you think like, or you see Homer dead, or so, you know, so it seems. And I'm just like, this is fucked, man.
Yeah.
Like, this image should not exist. They should burn this. Like,
I don't need to see Homer, and I don't need to see Homer in short shorts cleaning a car. I mean, I'm good. No. Like, I just don't need that stupid, you know, chicken fight.
Chicken fight is terrible.
I just don't need all of that shit.
No. And it's like half the episode is the chicken fight. And it's just like, we don't need that.
We don't need it. And I know that there's people out there, now I'm sure there's people that listen to this podcast that are like, oh, but it's funny because it just doesn't end. You know what I mean? Like and I can understand that. Sometimes a joke is funny if you beat it to death. And that's, you know, if you and a group of friends sit around one night and you have a joke that bombs, if you bring that joke up enough throughout the night, it'll eventually be really funny.
Yeah.
But like in the case of Family Guy, I'm good.
That's definitely the same. Family Guy's, I'll say it's their bread and their butter is the cutaway. I mean, that is how the show works. You know, it's beating a dead horse and the cutaway. Yeah. And they don't beat a dead horse. They like beat it, dig it up, reanimate the corpse, chop it up again, rebury it. And it's like, stop. That we saw the giant. But, you know, it does work with, like, Peter holding his knee and going, like, sometimes it's like, it's iconic and it does work. But, like, I'm not going to say that the Simpsons guy is quality television. And okay. I'm not a fan of it. Definitely not a fan of it.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear you say that, Will. It feels like we got somewhere. It feels like we really, you know, broke some, I feel like we're really just getting through.
We're working some stuff out.
Yeah. We're working some stuff out.
Yeah. But yeah, I also, it was interesting. I read the, because Lucky said he read some articles about it and the reviews were all negative and that's not surprising, but like they were talking about Matt being very hesitant to attach his name to an earlier crossover with The Critic.
Oh yeah.
I don't know anything about that. Like what's
The Critic is A plus television.
Great.
But Matt was like, no, we're not doing that.
Here's the thing. So The Critic was created by two Simpsons writers, Mike Reiss and Al Jean. And it
some was of the greatest.
Some of the greatest. Absolutely. Lucky. Totally agree. Al Jean, episode 4 of this podcast, Mike Reiss's episode. I don't remember, but I've interviewed them both. You should, you know, we talk about The Critic in both, go find them. But what is interesting about it, and this is one thing that I, you know, I love about Matt, but I can also see it being a negative, is it wasn't a slight at Al, Mike, or the show. He just thought crossovers were cheap publicity stunts. And he did not like the idea of it at all, because he just thought it was dumb. And he was like, these shows shouldn't exist in the same universe. They shouldn't feel like part of the same universe. One is far more realistic. One is, you know, it just shouldn't work. It shouldn't make sense. And so he didn't want to do it. And there were also certain writers that didn't want to be involved in the script. They were like, yeah, we agree with Matt. It was kind of like a divided room. Mm-hmm. Now, when you compare that to the Simpsons guy, I can only imagine he allowed it to happen. And I'm pretty sure that this is actually documented. He sort of did it as a favor to some people who had left The Simpsons to work on Family Guy. And he was like, you know what? You worked on The Simpsons for a long time. It's not a Simpsons episode. I think I can let it happen. Now I'm, you know, I don't know Matt personally, but I would be willing to bet that he did not like the final product. And if he said otherwise, he was probably just trying to be nice. Because I, you know, reading stuff about Matt and how he feels about that sort of thing, you know, in the end he was like, well, fuck. Yeah. But it is what it is. He tried to do a nice thing by letting it happen.
Yeah. And I think, there's like a few random moments in the episode where it's like, all right, it's kind of funny seeing Stewie try to ride a skateboard for a half a second.
I loved that bit.
That was funny.
I'll admit that's funny. I've seen that. Yeah.
But that was also in like the trailer for the episode. That's all you need to see. Like, that's just like, it's over now. I would push back against this. I agree, but also think who cares? Like, it's a cheap publicity stunt. Like, I don't know. I thought the Avengers were cool too. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I like seeing weird stuff like that. And that's, we all tune in to see it. Like Lucky said, like I had to see it, you know?
Yeah.
They could have stuck the landing.
They could have made it better. But I mean, you know, they could have not had Homer and Peter very erotically washing a car.
Yeah. It was way too much. There would be like I think 4 or 5 times Stewie made a joke about like what the deuce, and then Bart would say eat my shorts, and Stewie would like, oh, that's maybe a good joke, and Brian would be like, trust me, it's way more popular. Like they're like digging at themselves. Like the Simpsons is so much better than us. Like it's like you made the joke 3 times. We get it. Yourself owning yourself a little bit.
Yeah. That's
too much of that.
I mean, hey. It obviously, enough people liked it that that's still on. So I guess it didn't do like any irreparable damage to either show. Right. So that's, I think we can all agree that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it's like, you know, and I'm actually glad that we had this discussion, Will, because, you know, I understand your side of it a little bit more. I feel closer to you both as a result of just sort of working through that. So I think that's a good place
to go. Yeah.
It's a good place to be. What do you say? You know, so I was going to bring up like unpopular Simpsons opinions. And if you guys have any of those, feel free to let me know those. But if not, we'll just go into some games. Any unpopular opinions you want to get off your chest, guys?
I mean, I think for me, my only real unpopular opinion is that there's like really not a wholly bad season.
Oh, man. On this podcast, that's a popular opinion, baby.
Yeah. I love to hear it, man, because I just there's incredible episodes every single fucking season. When I was looking through just in preparation for being on the podcast, I was just like, there's like four season 17 episodes that I love.
Yes.
Like full on. They're incredible.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that people are coming around.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, and it took a lot of work. You know, I'm not going to say that I was a catalyst for that change, but I've done consistent work for the last decade to try to change that opinion. And hopefully I've played a part in that for some people that listen.
You're
to this
spreading
podcast.
The good word.
Thank you, man.
I remember being in the room and you saying there was, some really good new episodes that I think we tried like the next night. We were at what's his name's house with the VR headset.
Oh, Cronin.
Oh, and no, that was in Jacksonville. Yeah, that was that night. Jacksonville. We did actually watch The Simpsons that night. It's funny to say that.
Was it
shout out to Cronin? This is, you know, while we're doing shout outs, shout out to
my man, dude.
Yeah, I think I need to make some time. I will dedicate time to checking in. I still want the curated list.
I got you, man, from
the expert.
Man, yeah, Will's getting the special list.
Cool.
I got
cool.
you, man.
We'll post it on our Instagram and everything.
Feel free. Yeah, absolutely do that. I think that's fucking awesome. Well, okay. So if we're going to do that, then I think we're going to turn that into some other sort of content. We're going to try. But if we're talking about new episodes, this is perfectly segues into a game that we have not played on this podcast in so long. Again, listeners of the show that have been here since before Brandon was a part of the podcast, this is something I used to do anytime I interviewed anyone that wasn't from the show. And I decided to bring it back today for Will and Lucky, and that is the synopsis game. And I've never done it with two people, but I'm going to let you both sort of work out the answer. I'll let you work as a team. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you five synopsis, and you're going to tell me if they're real or fake. Are they true or false? Either one, whatever you want, whatever comes to mind. I think originally it was real or fake. Then it kind of became true or false. I don't care. I'll know what you mean. And you're going to tell me if they're real. So obviously, as an example, for any new listeners, if I were to say Bart and Lisa spend 6 weeks at Camp Krusty only to find out that it is much worse than advertised, inspiring the campers to take over the camp and revolt, you guys would obviously say that that is true.
Yeah.
Real, true, whatever. So that's how the game works. There is no set amount of real or fake ones. They could all be real. They could all be fake. That's usually not the case, but you're going to have to really think this through. Are you guys ready?
As long as you're going to give us time to think in groups of two.
You guys can discuss it amongst yourselves. It's going to be beautiful. I'm actually excited to see how this works with extra people. Little breakout room. All right, let's just roll into it. Right, Number one. Marge's plans to make Springfield more cultured go awry when nobody visits the new concert hall. The enterprising Mr. Burns turns the building into a prison, bringing employment opportunities to everyone but Homer. True or false?
I feel like these are all going to sound plausible. My initial thought is that sounds like it could be in The Simpsons. I don't know.
It does. But I'm like,
here's the thing, you know, I'm willing to let you guys be a team, but I'm also willing to accept different answers. If you guys disagree, I'm okay with that too.
I'm like racking my brain to like, remember if this exists.
I'm assuming this is from a later season or something. If it's, he's not going to give us anything, but
he could be trying to stump us.
He's definitely trying to stump us.
He could be trying to, cause this is going to be one of those episodes on the list.
Yeah.
If Homer's not working there, that would mean he'd be in prison. I feel like that would be kind of the way the episode goes. And I don't ever remember seeing my man in an orange jumpsuit.
Well, that's kind of the final thing he said is maybe a red herring of why wouldn't Homer be involved? Where's that plot device?
I'm really leaning towards fake.
I'm actually going to go fake as well.
Guys, it might shock you to know that that is a real episode. That is season 16, episode 14, The Seven Beer Snitch.
Yeah, why is it not?
That's an incredible title.
Oh, yeah. The Seven Beer Snitch. That's really okay. But I mean, hey, you got four more. It's okay. You know, several people that have been on this podcast have assumed they would smoke it and they've struggled. So, you know, it's no, these are meant to be hard. So there's no shame in that. Number two, after witnessing a riot, Homer decides to buy a gun. And after taking possession of the weapon, he demonstrates how to use it in a shockingly irresponsible way. Marge and Lisa are horrified, so to convince them that guns are great, Homer takes the family to an NRA meeting where he becomes a lifetime member. Marge is still really angry, so Homer agrees to get rid of the gun, but later Bart and Milhouse find it in the fridge.
So, the reason this sounds real to me is that this is a great example of the Simpsons teaching life lessons.
It's true. Yeah.
But it seems so dark.
I think it's fake because I think to me it's too close to like Bart, the episode where Bart shoots a bird with a BB gun.
Great episode.
I feel like they wouldn't get too close to that same. I mean, it's not really about gun safety, but.
Or would they?
They could, but I also feel like there's too much detail in that plot, like trying to make it sound. It sounds very plausible, but I think it's fake.
Are you guys divided, or you want to agree, Lucky? I will accept different answers.
I'm gonna roll with Will.
Okay, you're both saying fake.
Yeah.
It is a real episode, guys. This is
Jesus.
You should have trusted that instinct, Lucky. And this is what's crazy. Both of you have seen this episode. It is from season 9.
Really?
Episode 5. This
Wait,
is the
cart. I was going to say, don't say the title. I know the fucking title, dude. Damn it.
It's the Cartridge Family. Yeah, this is why I picked this one. And this is part of the challenge. The synopsis is so long that it honestly sounds kind of fake.
That's what I was saying. It's like he's given us so many details. There's like they wouldn't put that in the synopsis.
It is wild to me that it's an episode we've all seen, but the synopsis alone does sound like it's overcompensating. So it does sound fake.
Well, because I feel like most of them, I don't know what the other ones like, but it'd be like, you know, Homer joins the NRA. That could be the synopsis right there, you know?
Yeah. Hey.
But anyway.
I mean, hey, so we've had two truths so far that were both that you guys both thought were false. So that's, you know, I'm honored when this game is challenging. That's what I try to do. All right. Number three, we're moving on. You can still recover.
Can still pass.
When Springfield Elementary is threatened with closure because of a horrible lunchroom explosion, the fate of the school rests on Lisa as she introduces a fundraising program by way of a Springfield music festival. But her plan is almost ruined by Bart after a series of pranks to bands playing the festival. True or false?
Okay. I'm trying to think of episodes that had guest bands. And I can like name the bands, but I can't remember the episodes. The thing is like this is a very classic setup. But it seems like there would be multiple guests, and I don't know that that's ever happened.
I feel like it wouldn't be in the golden era. I don't think I remember this from like 2000, pre-2000.
No.
Which makes me think if they were going to do it with a bunch of bands, you know, who would they get? Like the Strokes or the White Stripes? Like, I just don't see that happening. I don't think I think I would know about that. And since
Shane,
I don't remember,
I'm going false.
I'm going to go false as well. I feel like I remember like Chili Peppers being on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was Weezer ever on it? I don't know.
Dude, the Chili Peppers, the joke is so good. It's they're trying to censor the song. It's in what does he say? He says,
can
what
we
I'd like
it?
Is I'd like to hug and kiss you.
What I'd like to say. It's a great joke. Guys, it is false. Congratulations. You have your first correct answer. Also, to those that might be new to this game or might not remember, the ones that are fake, I make up. So yeah. I'm glad that they sound plausible. These are just like off the dome.
That's a great like setup.
Thank you.
We were second guessing ourselves, but
thank you.
Use the power of reductive reasoning. I don't know.
And also, if I'm being honest, I mean, we've all played games like this where it's like, well, there's been two truths in a row. It can't be three. You know? So I respect that, you know. All right. Number four. Milhouse develops a crush on Janie, making Lisa jealous for the first time. When they start dating, Lisa is unable to control her jealousy. Looking for ways to end their relationship, Marge eventually helps Lisa understand her feelings.
I feel like I remember this episode. It seems true to me. I don't remember who Janie is, but I'm like pretty sure I remember this premise. I'm looking for clues and more in facial expression to see if I'm...
It sounds about right. There's a couple of details that I'm like not entirely sure on that I think might be taking a real synopsis and making it fake, but I don't want to say fake every time.
We can split decision.
I'm going fake.
I'm going real.
It is fake. Nicely done, Lucky. Nicely done. I think the episode that it made you think of, Will, is the one where Milhouse starts dating a girl and Bart gets jealous of all the time Milhouse is spending with his girlfriend, because that was sort of where I got this idea. And it feels like you've seen this episode because of that.
That's kind of a gotcha. I mean, that's a little bit of a
gotcha.
Hey,
I mean, you know,
that's a good one, dude.
Thank you, dude. All right. Well, so far Will has one and Lucky has two. So let's see what happens here in the last question. I mean, hey, don't feel bad, Will. You know, you like Family Guy. This is a little tough for you. We understand.
Winner gets a free Duff energy drink.
No more of those will ever set foot in here. No. Number five. By fanning the flames of hate and division instead of embracing historical fact, nobody Kirk Van Houten rises to become arbiter of Springfield Elementary's curriculum, leading to a fascist dystopian future where Kirk is Springfield's dictator.
If this isn't real, this is like an incredible, incredible episode waiting to happen. But I think it is real for some reason.
This one smacks of realness to me. I'm saying real.
We're going real. It is true. Congratulations, guys. Stuck the landing on that. So that is season 34, episode 16, Hostile Kirk Place. Hostile Kirk Place. That I picked that one specifically because it sounds so fake. But it is a real episode. That would not be at the top of the list of new episodes I would recommend, guys, but it's good, but it's a weird episode. I wouldn't lead off with it. So there you go. That is the synopsis game. So Lucky passed. Lucky got three correct. Will failed.
I was nervous.
I got two.
But no. I mean, hey, your logic was sound the whole time. Like, I understand. I mean, you know, I wanted it to be hard. So that's the way it goes. So now, man, this is, I joked up top about this being a throwback episode. This is like making me nostalgic for my own show. We're going to do something I haven't done in like over a year, if not longer. And that is the Big Three. The Big Three was there from the beginning of the podcast. The only reason it's sort of gone away is we don't do as many interview episodes anymore. And I don't ask these questions to everyone. I only ask them to people, you know, not from the show, like I said. So it's been a while, and I'm really stoked to bring these back. I like to get people's take on these three questions. And you guys can just take turns. I don't care who wants to go first. But the first one is, who is your favorite character and why? Kind of, you know, give me your reasoning on why it's your favorite character.
I obviously, when you get this question, you don't want to answer one of the big, what is it? How many people are on? Five?
Yeah.
Six people. Yeah. Yeah. I obviously, everyone loves Bart. Everyone loves Homer. Everyone loves all those guys. But I wanted to pick someone from, you know, a little bit of a B supporting role.
I respect that.
Yeah. I'm just, I'm removing the core family from this question.
Respectable.
I was kind of going through some characters, looking through Wikipedia a little bit. My initial thought was Mole Man.
Whoa.
But I realized I have one that every time he makes an appearance, I laugh. And it has a lot to do with his voice. And that is, let me look at my phone, how to say his name. Snake Jailbird.
You will want to go for the proper name, which I think is great. I love
it. Gotta make sure I got his name right. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not a Simpsons mega fan, but I know whenever I see the show and he's on, he does his little voice. I'm laughing every time, dude.
It's perfect. Yeah, he has some of the most like memorable lines for a, you know, I mean, he's like around, but yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, the dude, she needs premium and like all that. He has so many lines that are like, you know, pretty iconic for the show. So I think that's a great
so
one.
Fun. Yeah.
Lucky, what do you got?
So you almost stole my shine because one of my usual answers to this is Hans Molman.
Wow.
I love all of his bits. They're every so time. Good. Yeah. I also am a big Mayor Quimby has one of my favorite voices in the show. His character is so funny. I one of my favorite like quotes that I always think of for some reason is take this plane anywhere girls are going wild. Which I think is season 17, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But my one and true answer is Marge.
Man, thank you, Lucky.
That's a great one. I think it's the correct answer every time.
She's the soul of the show, man.
Yeah, dude.
She's the soul. She's the voice of reason so many times. She is her. So many of her episodes are just like, I mean, I think some of the best.
Yeah.
She's got so much to her. You know what I mean? And straight up, Lisa is like right behind her. But for me, it's Marge.
I love that answer. And the reason I say thank you is not in any way to shit on Will's answer. It's because Marge famously, at least to me, and I think this has changed a little bit, but like doesn't get the praise that the rest of the family gets. Like, you know, even Lisa has come around to get a little more credit for how important she is to the show. But I think people still sleep on Marge and to the point that like, you know, and I think the same can be said for Marge and Lisa. To me, it's because those voice actors don't do a ton of characters. So they're really connected to those characters and they really kind of feel like they are the character. So it makes them a little more special. And there's, you know, you could have the show with all the same people. You could have everything that the show currently has. And if you didn't have Julie Kavner as Marge and Marge didn't feel like she does, the show would not be what it is and it would not still be on. That is my honest opinion. Yeah.
100%. And it's like, I mean, dude, not only does she have these really like heartfelt and like really just like monumental moments throughout the show, she also has so many incredible jokes and little bits. I mean, like, dude, one of my favorite bits of animation on the show is Marge crumping. She's practically moshing. It's insane, dude. The first time I saw that, I like almost threw up laughing. Like, it's so funny.
That's perfect. Julie Kavner, you know, I say this all the time. She's like everyone's like other mom. I just think the character is so fucking perfect. The voice is perfect. I know it's harder for her to do the older she's gotten. And some people complain about that. I say, shame on you. I don't want it to be anyone else. You know, I'm sure some guy who collects crypto would be like, oh, just let AI do it. You know, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's, she's perfect. I want her to do it for as long as she can. And I think the show should cease to exist the moment she can't do it. And I feel that same way about everyone on the show. Don't want any recasting. I've said that so many times on here. I won't bore everyone, but really the moment they can't do it, it's gotta be over.
Speaking of which, this is really quick side quest. I think we talked about this on in the room. I was doing my live, so I think I heard you answer, but I don't remember what you said. And I want to address this on the podcast because I've made this claim to a few people, which is that Nancy Cartwright followed my personal Instagram a few years ago. And you had a logical answer for why that happens, because I definitely DM'd her as soon as this happened. And I was like, I don't know why I didn't deserve this, but I'm a huge fan of yours. And never got a reply back, of course. But what was that?
Well, I almost brought this up earlier, Will, but I didn't want to put you on blast. But let's do it. It's actually the funniest moment of the live to me because I explained it on camera and you say, oh, I wish I wasn't live when you said that, which is really, really funny. There was a campaign, and, you know, Nancy, not that you're listening to this episode, or maybe you are, I don't know, but I love you. And, her episode of this podcast is one of my favorites. It's like, you know, I still kind of get goosebumps when I think about the fact that I spoke to her for that long and she was so, so nice and appreciative and said such nice things about me. So that's like, that's one of those moments in my life that I feel like needs to be put on a little cassette and put in my tombstone or in my grave with me. But it's one of those things where, you know, social media was pretty new, even like a few years ago. Like it was still like things didn't go viral as often. People were sort of trying to find strategies to like really grow on social media. And, you know, this has been told to me by several people, and it seems pretty reliable that Nancy had hired a team to just really try to ramp up her engagement, ramp up her interaction. And so she had a team that was going in and just like liking random people's stories, like following as many people as possible and then unfollowing them later. And it was like this whole thing. And some of those people did get responses from the DM because I want to say that the same thing happened to me. So you're not alone. This is like way before I interviewed Nancy, that account had followed me and I was like, oh my God, no way. Like Nancy noticed me. That's so cool. You know?
Yeah.
And I think I even DM'd him and was like, hey, you know, it goes without saying, but I'm a huge fan. And I think they said like, oh, thank you. Then I sent another message and got no reply. So I believe that that is also part of the strategy. They were just trying to like really, you know, they were trying to create a buzz. They wanted a bunch of people to be like, no way, Nancy Cartwright followed me, which would also get her more followers, which would also create this like moment. And I think it worked because there was a time where she didn't have much of a presence on social media. And now she has a much bigger one. So, you know, unfortunately, Will, I do believe that it was just a team and not actually Nancy. I don't believe she actually runs her own social media at all.
Well, Nancy, if you are listening and you want to get your team back on the Flip Sandy account, my DMs are open. But yeah, I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah. I mean, again, don't feel bad. She did it to me too. You know, whatever, Nancy, if you are listening, talk to your team. I mean, it's really a kick in the nads to unfollow us after getting us all excited with your.
Oh, that was a great day. I remember it very clearly.
Yeah. I was like, wow, she knows who I am. This is so cool. And it made, you know.
Well, made more sense to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, to me, it made all the sense. I was like, oh, cool. Like, this is awesome. You know, some other Simpsons people follow me. And then I noticed the unfollow and I was like, oh, great. so that, you know, just whatever team not doing the best job. So there we go. So it's addressed. Now you all know the truth. I'm sure it happened to several of you that are listening. So we'll go into the next question. I'm so bad at the big three now because I haven't done it in so long. I forgot we were in the middle of it. Who is your least favorite character and why? Which I know historically is a much harder question. And lucky you said up top, I don't know if it made it into the edit, but you said that you had never thought about this before.
I'd never even considered it. It's one of those things where like the show, the whole world is just so perfectly written and everybody matters so much. And I want you to know, I was thinking about this to the point that I was like actually thinking like, wow, man, this is like reflecting like life itself. This is like this is real proof that everybody matters, man. Like everyone plays their part in some kind of way. I was getting like way too in my head about it. And so I had to make a decision. And I picked a guy that I think the show really never makes you feel sympathetic for, at least not that I can like remember, and a guy that I don't like in real life. And that's Comic Book Guy.
Wow. Yo. Okay. Hey, I'm pretty sure you're not the first person to say that, but I could, maybe you are, because I think he kind of gets easy to forget because he's so pivotal to Bart, but he's kind of a dick. So that's a great answer. Yeah.
He's just a real jerk, dude. His nose is up there.
He's a gatekeeper, bro.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you, man. I love Comic Book Guy. I think he's hilarious. I mean, yeah, of course he's a dick, but like, we've all seen this guy in real life, and yeah, we do hate him in real life. We also tell funny stories about him a lot because he's like, man, yeah, that guy was a dick. That's kind of funny, true. Though. You know,
Will, who you got though?
I got some. It took me a while as well, but I think I might get some hate for this, but I just never liked the shows that are centered around him. I don't really care for his role in the Simpsons world. What? Why? Your mouth is already open.
I know who you're going to say. Just say it.
I want to hear your guess first.
You're going to say Flanders.
No.
I love Okay. Flanders. Oh,
God, woo! Thank you.
Scared me, bro. I was right there with you, Lucky. Scared. I was terrified.
But you still might be upset about my pick. I don't like Krusty the Clown.
Oh my God. Guys, I want to apologize to everyone listening. I know that I'm sorry this happened so late in the episode, and I'm sorry that it has to end here, but we're done. I'll see everyone next week. Will, explain yourself, man.
I will explain myself. And it's funny you said something earlier that kind of like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to that because this is what it is. It's like when you were talking about how the voice actors for Marge and Lisa only do those roles, basically.
Yeah.
To me, when I hear Krusty's voice, I hear Mo, is it the same guy? I don't know.
It's not actually. It's the same guy that does Homer, if you can believe it. It's Dan Castellaneta.
Okay.
He sounds so different from all his other characters.
To me, I don't know. Krusty just seems like, I don't know. There's something about him that like, I'm just, whenever he's on screen, I'm like, I want to get to the next part of the show. I'm kind of like,
wow.
Doesn't scratch my itch. I don't know. Hey, I'm not a Krusty guy.
Here's the thing. The Simpsons is different for everyone, man. I'm not going to, you know, while your answer hurts me, I can respect it because, you know, he is a bizarre part of the world. And I guess that can't, you know, I can't reach everyone. You know, trying to put a positive spin on it for you. so I can't reach
Sorry,
everyone.
Guys. Sorry,
no,
guys.
You know, hey, if I can say one thing about Will, he doesn't hold back. He tells it like it is, man. He keeps it real.
Yeah.
I tell you, when I give you a compliment, it's from the bottom of my fucking heart.
I can't think of anything to say about how crazy it is. I think that Krusty's your least favorite. All I can really think is that I'm just glad you didn't say Flanders.
That's true. That is saving me a little bit because there was like a top 100 Simpsons characters article that I contributed to for Cracked. Mm-hmm. And we did an episode about it and Ned was really high. I think Ned is like, shockingly high. I think he was like top five, top 10.
I was just about to say he's like fucking easily top five.
Yeah, he might have been top three. He was like really high on the list.
No, I think Ned is hilarious.
Yeah.
You need that character.
You need him.
Yeah, of course. I just don't laugh at Krusty. I mean, I don't get anything out of when Krusty's on screen.
Yeah, I mean, hey, not everyone grew up watching Bozo the Clown. So, you know, some people just don't remember. They don't have like a love for that regional clown's spin there. Well, tell me this. So this is like the hardest one. And I also remembered, it's been so long since I've done this. I know I'm repeating myself, but when I first started doing the Big Three, I would say, what are three of your favorite episodes? And that's like the way I've approached this for a long time. Over time, it sort of morphed into like, okay, if that's hard, tell me three episodes that you would recommend to someone who had never seen the show before, you know, that would sort of give them a proper introduction. So whichever version of that is easiest for you, give them to me.
I'm going to go with the original. Just quick side note, since I am the Griffin representative, I have the perfect three episodes of Family Guy for anyone who wants to chime in, hit my DMs. But anyway, I thought about the question as you presented it. So I do have a list of three favorite episodes that I can rattle off here and, you know, talk about them as much as we need to. But let's see. First things first, I'm a Treehouse guy. Never doubt that.
Hey, Nothing wrong with that.
Treehouse 1, I have a very specific memory of, I'm sure I'd seen it already, but like when I was in high school, my English teacher taught us The Raven through that episode of The Simpsons.
Wow.
I hope she won Teacher of the Year.
In my book, she did.
That's
yeah.
That's perfect.
It's ingrained. I can still recite some of that poem because of The Simpsons. Like, yeah, so that is in my top three for sure. I mean, I could put pretty much any of the Treehouses. I'm a Halloween guy in general. I just love that time of year, and
it's great.
Simpsons combine it with that. It's like, what can go wrong? Yeah,
perfect.
My next one I listed was The City of New York versus Homer Simpson.
Wow. Okay. A late one that I like that. I love that episode.
To me, it's good. I'm also kind of, I mean, we've talked about this in other podcasts, actually. I'm kind of obsessed with 9/11 imagery. Anything with the World Trade Center is like always going to like just lodge itself into my heart. And the fact that the Twin Towers are such a big piece of that show.
That's true.
Kind of just like stuck with me for a long time.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Wow, yeah.
Living in New York now, I kind of have like a little soft spot for that episode because it's like Homer thinks it's a complete shithole. I love how in the beginning he's kind of like, kids don't know he's actually been there before. And he's like, oh, I have a secret, a dark secret. I actually went to New York before, you know?
yeah.
He's just like trying to protect them from New York or something like that. But
so good. Yeah.
That's a good one. And then my last one is Itchy and Scratchy, the movie.
Ooh.
Which is, nice. I don't, would you know which season that is? I think it's 3 or 4,
that,
maybe.
That would be, I think it's 4. Yeah.
Okay. So the reason I picked this one, I don't want to say I picked it at random, but I wanted to make sure Itchy and Scratchy, I rewatched the episode after picking it, and it is one of my favorites, but like my personal connection to it is, I told you guys already that, we watched as a family growing up,
right.
But my brother Frank could not watch any scenes with Itchy and Scratchy in them because he was scared.
Whoa!
You guys, I look like you're both looking at your phones. I feel like you're not listening to me. What's going on? You guys texting?
No. Full disclosure. I was making sure that I wasn't lying about what season that episode was from. And I was making sure because I was like, the last thing I need is someone emailing me being like, well, actually, Mr. Expert, it's season 5, but it's season 4. I was right. Okay. So carry on.
All right. Sorry. So, yeah. My brother couldn't watch Itchy and Scratchy. And I think, I don't know, when your kids and your brother is like grossed out by something, it makes me like, well, he can't handle it, but I'm gonna make sure I can handle it. Wanted to make sure I'm really locked into Itchy and Scratchy, and I did kind of like get into like gross, like, you know, gory stuff, I think, as a result of that. And that's just kind of, it's pretty grotesque what they do. Is for, like, we were talking earlier, like, Simpsons is more family friendly than Family Guy, but like, Itchy and Scratchy are kind of doing stuff.
It's the only way they could get those jokes into the show.
Yes.
And to me, the funniest thing about Itchy and Scratchy is that it really is just like an absurd version of Tom and Jerry. Yeah. Like, it's just like Tom and Jerry on crack. And I've always thought that's like such a funny, like, the fact that they're able to make those jokes in a show that, you know, didn't get away with everything. It got away with a lot, but it is interesting, to your point. I think that's
cool. Also, yeah, the final sequence of that show, when it's like 40 years in the future and Bart does in fact become a chief justice on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Taking home one of the movies. It's cherry on top. Also, really quick, I just looked at my phone, look at my list of episodes, and I want to give you some breaking news.
Okay.
Lucky, you might be interested in this. Kirk Cousins has signed with the Atlanta Falcons. He's no longer a
Minnesota Viking.
Wow.
I really do actually like to hear that.
You know, this episode, this will be way late by the time people hear this, but that's crazy. Also, the Jaguars signed Gabe Davis today to a 3-year deal.
I don't know him.
He played for the Bills.
Okay.
He was a receiver for the Bills. So the Jags are making some crazy moves too. There's a lot of stuff happening in football today.
I mean, I wanted to say, because like I said, the Vikings were integral to my Simpsons origins, and like my dad texted me about it and stuff like that.
Dude, Kirk Cousins on the Falcons.
Hey,
that's kind of crazy, man.
He's the master of the 5-yard pass. When it's 3rd down, you need 7. I hope he does well for you guys.
Listen, I like Kirk Cousins. I think that's cool. And also, it should be noted, the reason that is so interesting, we have Will of Minnesota Vikings fan, and we have Lucky, an Atlanta Falcons fan. So this is like, you know, this is a real moment we're having here.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for that little side quest. But, yeah.
No, that's great. Lucky, what are your episodes, man?
Mine are easy. I didn't even have to think about it. That's kind of what I've always rolled with. In no particular order. Marge versus the Monorail.
News. Oh, say
my God. News, so good.
That's my number one. It's my number one. That one's in particular order.
Okay.
Marge versus the Monorail, Selma's Choice. And then not to, I know we're on the show and everything, but Bart of Darkness, man.
Yes.
It's just such a, it's, It's so good.
Well, hold on. I don't know the Sama episode. Can you tell me what that one is? Or?
That's the one where they go to Duff Gardens.
Yes.
The kids are going crazy. You know, there's the Lizard Queen bit.
I am the Lizard Queen, yeah.
It's a good episode. It's season four.
I believe you're
correct, but if anyone is screaming at me, I'm not looking at my phone again. So.
But if not Bard of Darkness, I would maybe go with EIEI Doe.
Oh, so good.
He's picking four episodes. Come on. I thought we were
doing three. You know,
he's got a runner like, up, you know. Well,
that's,
hey,
that's down there, dude. That's season 12.
It is. It's a great episode. I got to say, you know, Bard of Darkness is like such a good episode, but not only is it a great episode, like it's such an interesting like season opener. Because it's like in the summer, you don't get a lot of episodes where they're not in school.
Yeah.
So it's such a unique episode. Like it just feels different than most episodes. So I always think that's cool.
Obviously I know the whole plot of Bard of Darkness, but for anyone who's listening, who doesn't know, can you refresh their memory?
Yeah. So Bard of Darkness is the episode where they believe that Ned killed his wife.
Okay.
Bart breaks his leg falling out of a tree after they get a pool because it's so hot. And so Bart is becoming isolated and weird, sitting in his room with his foot, with his leg in a cast. And he, you know, becomes kind of obsessed with what's happening around the house.
Kind of a Rear Window type thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's exactly. Yes, and so he's looking out of the window and he notices Ned burying something. He believes it's his wife. Him and Lisa investigate. Turns out Maude was on she was at Bible camp and he was just burying a plant.
This is a plot device. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a little bit of foreshadowing for a future episode.
It is.
As well, you know?
It is.
Who killed Mr. Burns?
No, Maude.
Yeah, Maude
does die.
She does die.
I was also going to say, it's also a plot device that Family Guy later stole. Stewie did the exact same, or Brian did the same thing, looking out a window of an apartment. He moved out of the house since he's the principal of... Sorry. Okay, I'll stop. my runner-up episode, by the way, is the left-handed store episode.
Oh, the Leftorium. Perfect. Yeah. I love that. I mean, hey, I will say this too for any Marge versus the Monorail fans, and this will make the list, Will. So Treehouse 33, and I know you said you love treehouses. This is just a season ago. It opens with... So there's like a Westworld parody called Simpson World, and it opens with a scene from Marge and the Monorail, of you know, where he says, "Oh, I call the big one Bitey," and it's literally, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it by now, that's crazy, but it is like a perfect reference salad to The Simpsons in general. But it opens with a scene from that episode. So lucky if you haven't seen that one yet. Oh my God, bro!
I haven't. I need to see that.
I've watched a lot of the Treehouse, so I may have seen that one.
It's so, so good. Guys, this has been great, man. This has been so fun. I want to thank you guys for coming on and hanging out, giving me your hot takes. You know, Will hates Krusty. He loves Family Guy. I mean, this is interesting, interesting territory for a guest for me, but I love it.
Mix it up for you, man.
I wouldn't change anything about you, Will. You seem confident in who you are, and I think that's fantastic. So I love those opinions, even though I firmly disagree. But I also want to remind everyone, like, go buy Cartwheel. And this is like, you know, I work in a record store called Tiger Records. Shout out Tiger Records. I have played Cartwheel a disturbing amount of times in the store. I love it. I listen to it all the time. And go catch these guys on tour. If they're coming to your city, go see them. You will not be disappointed. I saw them twice on the last tour. Both shows were killer. Thanks, insane man. Lineup right now. So many great musicians. Great. Everything's just, it's so good. So take that as a sincere endorsement, not just they're a guest on the show. The record's great. No, loved it way before this even happened.
This guy was even at the sound check. He really does fuck with us.
My fucking man, dude.
This is so true. So go get Cartwheel.
This is
go
so
see
much
them.
Fun, dude.
Go see them if they come to your city. Tell anyone anything that you have coming up other than the tour, just anything you want to promote before we get out of here. Do it.
We'll be on tour. We're going to be all over the U.S. I think we're not doing Florida, but most places in the U.S. are going to be covered. Specifically, you might want to check out our show in L.A. or the day after. We're going to be doing a little cool event at Burger Lords. We got a new mixtape with some new demos on there. Only available at that. It'll be all over Europe for like a month, April to May. So yeah, we're trying to hit everything by the end of the year. So
incredible. I promise. This is the Warren Bart of Darkness Simpsons is greater than guarantee. If you have decent taste in music, you'll love this record. And if you go see them, you'll be blown away. That is a fact. Without naming any names, let's just say they were the best band on the shows that I saw. And that was really great. So take that, take that how you will. Go see them. Go check them out. They're in your city. If you have any questions or comments for me, email me at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, consider leaving me a review on Apple or anywhere that accepts reviews. I do not care. You can follow the official Instagram account at Simpsons is Greater Than. If you're curious about me or my Simpsons collection and you listen to this show and you somehow don't know about it, just search for Bart of Darkness on Instagram or Threads or the internet in general. And after you see the episode, you'll probably find me. And we'll see everybody real soon.
Cool. Thanks so much, Warren.
Thanks, man.